Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. Remember, the writer of Hebrews is writing to Hebrew believers, Jewish Christians. And his point is that they're to no longer be Jewish Christians. They're to move on to maturity. They're to grow up and just be Christians. That Jesus Christ is sufficient. But there were some who were wanting to go back under the Mosaic law. They were now free from the law, from Judaism, but they had this overwhelming tendency to want to go back. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, go on, go on, grow up, grow up. But they're saying, look, we want to go back. And the writer mentioned this strange character named Melchizedek. And I guess he realized from the glares from the people that he was talking to and writing to that they didn't understand who Melchizedek is, or in this case was. And there was a lot of questions, wrinkled eyebrows. They looked at him like, who? And he said, of which I have many things to teach. But, and this is Dick Hill translation, but you're out like a light. You don't have a clue. And when you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. That is, you haven't grown up. And you're in need of milk, of the milk of the Word, and not solid food, not strong meat. Because you haven't matured enough in your spiritual life to take in the strong meat. You get lost. You get lost in the words. You get lost in the meanings. You get lost in the teaching. And said simply, you're immature. And you need to grow up. Remember we taught last time that we're born into God's family, God's spiritual family, just like you were born into your physical family as a little brephos, a little infant. My wife is taking care of my little granddaughter at this very moment, 7 months old. Her name is Macy McKay. And she hadn't been with her very long, and she's changed a lot of diapers already because she's a little baby. And she cries a lot. No, she really doesn't. She just coos and goos. She's my granddaughter, you understand? She doesn't cry a lot. Only when she's hungry or when she's dirty, she'll cry. But she's a baby. But we're taking care of her. We're feeding her, and we're going to nourish her, and we're going to exercise her. And you know what? Hopefully she's going to grow up and ultimately become mature and ultimately become productive. And that's exactly what believers do. We're born into God's family spiritually as a little baby. And we need to be taught the Word, and we need to exercise, and we need to be involved in ministry so we can grow up and become strong and mature and profitable to God. We can bear fruit. But these Hebrews here hadn't done that. Remember, they wanted to go back and get into a bankrupt system that no longer God was using. They needed to go on with Jesus Christ into the deeper truths. But they didn't. And we talked about last week, remember, we're all going to one day stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand, believers are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to receive a reward for those things which we have done in the body of Christ, whether they're profitable to God or not profitable to God. That is, we're going to receive a reward for all of the fruit that we have produced. Or we're going to lose reward for the fruit that we did not produce. We talked about this gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. And when we're walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ and we're doing things for the Lord, consciously aware of His presence, then we're gaining reward, gold, silver, precious stone. And if we're out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, we're walking contrary to His will, we're not growing, then no matter what we're doing, no matter how well-intended it might be, and no matter how good it might look, it's not gaining any reward. It's wood, hay, and stubble. And one day, God's going to put the fire to it. Remember, He's going to put it in the fire. And our works are going to be exposed to fire. It's going to be burned. Keep that word in mind, burned. Not talking about Gehenna hell, not talking about life without Christ, but our works, our rewards are going to be lost. That's important to understand this passage here. If you've missed all of that, you've missed it. You will not understand this passage in context. But with all that in our thinking as a foundation upon which we're now going to build, we can go on to chapter 6. And I believe chapter 6 will make sense to you. Therefore. Now remember, when you come across those little therefores, you have to ask yourself this question. What is the therefore? Therefore. Well, it's referring back to the teaching of Melchizedek. It's referring back to the failure to grow up and the desire for milk rather than meat. And for you not, you should have been teachers by this time, and you're not teachers. You haven't grown up. That's the point. Therefore, here he goes, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. You know what that translation, that's baby food. Leaving the baby food, leaving the milk, the elementary principles. Let us go on to perfection. Now this word perfection doesn't mean absolutely sinless. It's the Greek word teleos. Teleos, it means mature, spiritually mature, a spiritual adult. Start out as a little brephos, move to a nepios, and then on to a teleos, on to a mature believer who's able to produce for Jesus Christ. But these believers here had not. They were standing right here in the middle. They wanted to go back to Judaism. And the writer is saying, go on with Jesus Christ. And they're standing right here. So he says, leaving these first principles of the oracles of God, the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That is, you don't have to go over and over and over again how you came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's good to give your testimony from time to time, isn't it? For unbelievers to hear that. But you can't stop there. You can't go to seed, you might say, on the gospel. You have to move on. I mean, you can't get any better than the gospel. You can't get any better than grace. But you can't live there. You got to move on in your teaching and in your learning. Of the doctrines of baptisms, of the identifications, of the laying on of hand. Now, the doctrines of washings, literally, here's the deal there. In Judaism, every family had a little vat of water that was in their home, their tent. And there was all kinds of ceremonies surrounding that little pan of water. You'd go there, you'd wash your hands, or they might wash your feet. And they all had spiritual symbolisms. They all did a lot of things with water. But what I want you to understand is those were the elementary things. Those were the little small things. Leave that behind, he's saying here. Now watch this. Of the laying on of hands. Now that's what they would do. When they would kill a lamb, before they would sacrifice the lamb on the altar, the priest would lay their hands on the head of that animal. He would confess the sins, his own sins, and the sins of the people, symbolically transferring his sins to what? To the lamb. And then the lamb would be killed. Well, they had a lot of different ceremonies in Judaism of the laying on of hands, many of which came over to the Christian faith. And see, that wasn't very far between. I mean, they just came right across, and they were still involved in much of that practice, even though the writer is saying, get beyond that. Go on to maturity. That's what he's saying here. Now watch. Of resurrection of the dead, the doctrines of the resurrections in the Old Testament, it wasn't very much on the resurrection in the Old Testament. If you read it carefully, you don't find much. Job, for instance, says, I know I'm going to see God one day. In my body, I'm going to see God. And he was talking about the resurrection, but it's not a whole lot found there. And if you stay there, you're going to stay in babyhood the rest of your life. You need to get over into the New Testament and find out about the doctrines of the resurrection. There is a lot of truth concerning the resurrection. And I hope you've learned some through the past 4 years. The doctrines of the resurrection. And then he says, and of eternal judgment. A lot of truth on that. And look in verse 3. This is the key. And this we will what? We will do if God permit. That's the sovereign plan of God. If God permits, if it's in the will of God, we're going to what? We're going to grow up. If it's within the confines of the will of God, you will mature. That's what he's saying. We will get beyond these truths, and we will go on with Jesus Christ. We will go on into the area of words like redemption and reconciliation, words like justification and imputation, words like propitiation. We will learn the meaning of those words, and words like regeneration, and words like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the sealing ministry of the Spirit, and the equipping of the Spirit, and the things of the Word of God that believers are to be familiar with. These are what I call the meat of the Word. They're beyond the elementary principles, but they're very, very important to know. And we will not grow sufficiently in the Word until we come to grips with those truths. Hide them in our heart. And what will happen if we do that, watch carefully now, God will become bigger. He will become bigger than we ever dreamed. And nothing will be impossible for us. And when we read, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory, you'll say, you know, He will. He's big enough to do that. He's big enough to take care of my problems. He's big enough to take me through the valleys of life. Because I'm grown up now. And there's a book that I read when I was young in the Lord, simply titled, Your God is Too Small. And boy, that was me. I had to begin to study the Word of God so God could begin to get big. For it is impossible, now watch this, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Now this is going to be talking about believers. They once were given sufficient light. It hit their mind. And there's no, listen, we have to understand that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that we once were blind. We once walked in darkness. But the light of the world shined to us. And we came to faith in Jesus Christ. And now we know His light. And look, and have tasted the heavenly gift. And boy, we have. The wages of sin is death. Can you finish that? But the what? Gift of God is what? Eternal life. And once we've tasted that, once we have received that gift, now we've got sufficient light, and we receive the gift of God's grace. Now watch this. And have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Listen. When I say that, what should just pound your brain are these words, regeneration, indwelling, baptism, sealing, equipping, teaching, filling. They should all come in there. You say, those are precious truths. the ministry, being a partaker of the Holy Spirit. He's there. He's with us. And He will never leave us or forsake us. He's there. So once we've tasted that, once we've come to that, watch this. Look in verse 6. He says, if they shall fall away. Now watch this. You got to go back to the context. Go back to the context. Go back to the Hebrew believer. Here he is. He's standing right here. All right, he's got a decision to make. It's either go on or what? Go back. What if they go back? This is what's going on here. This is a first-class conditional clause, a third-class conditional clause. Maybe they will and maybe they won't. But what if they do go back into Judaism? What do they need? I mean, really need. They're back in Judaism, but what do they really need? Do they need to be saved again? They don't need to be saved again, right? They don't need to do that. If they did that, the writer's going to say, they crucify unto themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to open shame. They don't need to go there. They don't need to go to the cross again. They don't need to go to Calvary again. What do they need? They need to what? Go on to what? To maturity. They need to grow up. That's what he's saying to these people here. Look, grow up. Learn about Melchizedek. Find out who he is. Because that's a barometer of your spiritual life. That tells me, the writer here, who you are inside. You haven't grown up. You're over here. And you need to be over here. Going on with Christ. So he's saying it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify unto themselves the Son of God, and they put Him to open shame. What the writer is saying, you don't need to be born again. You don't need to be saved again. It's impossible. You know, a lot of them were saying, you know, they're over here and they say, if I could just be saved again, it'd be different. I mean, I might be able to get on with my life and get on with the program and grow on up. He says, no, that's not what you need. You don't need that. You need to go on. You need to grow up. That's why he said earlier, leaving, leaving, leaving. You got to leave something. And go on. He says, this we will do if God permit. We're going to grow up. But watch, let's continue. Now look, this is the key. Verse 7 should cause lights to come on. Now if it doesn't cause lights to come on, then you've got a bad bulb. Or your batteries run all the way down. Because you missed everything that I said last Sunday morning. That happens sometimes. You missed it. But if you were here last Sunday morning and you heard that idea that our works are going to one day be judged and our rewards are going to be burned because we haven't become productive, then this will make sense. Now watch. He says, for the earth which drinks in the rain. You know what that means? Papa's going to be looking for rain come garden planting time. He puts those seed in the ground. Those of us who plant for deer, we plant the seed, but we begin to pray for what? Rain. Got to have the rain. Got to have the rain. That's what germinates the seed. God uses that to germinate the seed and produce what? Plants and ultimately fruit, right? Watch this. Comes upon it and bears fruit, literally herbs, vegetables, or plants, useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. Now, here's what this is talking about. Those believers who mature and produce fruit receive God's blessing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're blessed when we do that. We're extremely spiritually blessed when we produce fruit that's pleasing to God. When we understand sanctification, that God has set us apart on the earth to become productive for His glory. As I said often, we're not saved to sit on a pew. We're not saved to listen to a sermon. We're not saved to go to church. We're saved to become productive for Jesus Christ, to produce fruit for His glory. I believe God has a destiny for everybody in this room. A destiny for you to become productive. And I said last Sunday morning, we need to be discipling people. We need to be sharing our faith with people that need Christ. Because that's why we're here. That's why we're not in heaven. I mean, if God hadn't left us here for a purpose, why in the world did He leave us here? So become productive. What if you don't? Watch this. He makes another contrast. He says, but if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Now watch this. If it doesn't produce fruit that receives God's blessing, then the only alternative is it's going to produce briars. It's not going to be productive. And what is it good for? Burning. What about those works back in 1 Corinthians 3, as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ? What about the wood, hay, and stubble? What is God going to do to that? Burn it. There it is. He's not talking about us going to hell. That's not even in the context. Learning about Melchizedek has nothing to do with gaining eternal life. Please, don't miss it. Learning about Melchizedek has nothing to do with being a Christian. Whether I know about who he is or not doesn't determine whether I have eternal life or not. Whether I'm on the milk of the Word or the meat of the Word doesn't determine my future destiny. It doesn't determine my eternal life. That was determined the moment I received the gift of grace when I trusted Jesus Christ. I'm saying this loudly and I'm repeating it often because I want you to get it. What the writer is saying is so simple and so understandable. He's saying, grow up. You're standing right here with one foot in Judaism, one foot in Christianity. Jesus Christ is sufficient. He's greater than the prophets. He's far superior than the prophets. But you're over here, you're still tied to the prophets. Go on with Christ. You're still tied over here under the law. You don't need the law. You need grace. Get over here in this realm and grow up and become productive for Jesus Christ. Look in verse 9. This is the key. But beloved, now he's not going to call an unbeliever what? Think about it. He's talking to believers here. But beloved, watch. We are confident of better things concerning you. You Jewish Christian, or we might say you Glendale believer. Watch, he says. Yes, things that accompany what? These are things that accompany salvation. These are not things that are our salvation. Our growth accompanies our new birth. This is that which accompanies the when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, as I've often said, at that moment we become spiritual billionaires and we spend the rest of our Christian life finding out what happened the moment we believe in Christ. It's a wonderful thing. And all Bible teachers do is tell us from the Word of God what happened at a moment of time when we trusted Christ. I mean, we became overwhelmingly spiritually wealthy, and we spend the rest of our lives finding out what happened and now who I am, and as I said, how big God is and what now God can do in my life. There's nothing that He cannot do. This is why a lot of times when I'm teaching this is what happened to some of those people in my ministry. When they saw this, they said, you know, God's calling me to the mission field. I need to be sharing Christ on a regular basis. I need to be teaching the Word of God. I need to be doing something substantial in my life other than just making money. Why is that true? Well, one day we're going to stand there before Him. I don't think one of the questions we're going to be asked is, how high on the financial strata did you get? I don't think it's going to be one of the questions. How much material wealth did you accumulate? I don't think it's going to be on the docket. I think what the biggest question is, what did you do with the time and teaching that I gave you while you were on the planet? Did you become productive for me? Did you produce? That's what's going on here. These believers didn't need to go back and be saved again. They didn't need that. That wasn't what the writer's talking about. They didn't need to go back. They needed to go what? Go on. Go on. Leave those elementary things. Go on to maturity. You see, I saw this one time. If it's talking about losing your salvation, and it's not talking about that in context, as I said, it's not talking about that. But if it is, if it were talking about you can lose your salvation, if that's true, then if you take that context, then it would be impossible ever, according to the passage, to be saved what? Again. So that's not what it means. That's not what it means. There's something else here. And what it really means, and it's so simple to understand, we need to learn about Melchizedek. And you know what? That's what chapter 7 is all about. Isn't it good? Chapter 7 tells us about Melchizedek. The writer says, look, this we're going to do if God is willing that we do it. We're going to do it. I'm confident that we're going to do this. In chapter 7, he starts teaching us all about this strange character named Melchizedek. And you know, when I was first begin to see some of this truths, I wanted my children. I got them into the room and I set them down. And of course, they're sitting there going, oh, here he preacher, you know. Here's my preacher dad. And he's going to preach a sermon. But I want them to know about Melchizedek. And I want them to begin to see with the eyes of their mind what God is putting in there. Because Melchizedek can teach us some wonderful things about our Savior. And boy, when we find out, we say, this is fantastic. And we say, you know what? God's alive. And God's a wise God. He's a living God. And all, that means all this is true. We're not playing church. That translated means I need to be out telling people about Jesus Christ. I need to be studying the Word. I need to be doing what I'm not doing. Because Melchizedek teaches me that. Father, thank you for your Word. And I pray that we would understand that if we apply the proper context to any passage in the Word of God, then the truth will surface and the light will come on. If we can find the context and read it properly, then it makes sense to us. And Father, I pray that we would understand that these Jews did not need to go back under Judaism. They did not need to be exposed to Jesus Christ again. They did not need to be saved again. They did not need to be renewed to repentance. They needed to go on to maturity. They needed to produce that which will one day merit gold, silver, precious stone. They did not need to be out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, to be immature, and to be facing the judgment seat, and one day have all of their works burned up and lose reward. And Father, teach us that as believers, we are going to serve Jesus Christ. We can serve Him here. We can give Him our time here, give Him our life here, and rule and reign with Him in a kingdom. Or we can fail to serve Him here and serve Him in a kingdom. But we're going to serve Him. Just depends on where we want to serve Him. And serve Him here, or we can serve Him there. And Father, I pray that You would impress that truth upon our thinking. And I pray, Father, that if there be someone here who has not trusted Jesus Christ, that You would draw them to the Savior. Give them an understanding of the gospel and give them the wisdom and the faith to place in Jesus Christ so that they might be saved for eternity. Thank You for our time. In Jesus' name, amen.